Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, everybody. Again, welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Dan Toogood, author of Chronic Pain Gone in 90 Days. If you'd like to speak to Dr. Toogood, you can give him a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room and I can go ahead and read it on the air, or you can Twitter at hashtag Apple Capital. Dr. Toogood, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tim.
Great. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself and how you guys started and how did you come in writing this book?
Yeah, I've been practicing since 1982, so that's 30 years, and the key word is practicing. You know, when you start practicing healthcare, you've learned certain concepts in school, and you go out and practice and put them into use. And along the way, you find out that some of those things work well and some don't. So I started practicing in 1982 at the International Sports Medicine Institute in West Los Angeles and treated a lot of athletes there in the 1984 Olympics and learned a few things and went out on my own. And when I was in when I was in Apple Valley, California, I discovered the diet-pain connection, I call it. The book I wrote is called Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days. And it's just an instruction manual, the 10 steps that are necessary to eliminate chronic pain. And it's the accumulation of 30 years of experiencing this concept. It's very simple. And a lot of people look at the title of the book and they go, well, chronic pain by definition doesn't go away, so how can it go away in 90 days? And like I said, the simple concepts are that healing is something that happens in everybody, and people who have been diagnosed with chronic conditions haven't had that experience. And there's some explanation for it, and I kind of discovered it in my practice. So that's basically what the book is about.
Wow. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you know, to give you a background a little bit, the book is about chronic pain as opposed to regular pain. You know, we all know what regular pain is. We've all bonked our heads or stubbed our toes or twisted an ankle, et cetera. We've done this thousands of times every year, so we know what pain is. Pain and chronic pain compare in several ways. They both feel the same, and they're both caused by inflammation. But that's where the differences end. You know, chronic pain feels the same. There's a sharp pain or a dull ache or a throbbing pain, etc., the same as regular pain. Regular pain, if you do nothing about it, like if you hit your thumb with a hammer, the pain eventually goes away. If you want, you can use conventional techniques, you know, use ice, heat, take medication, go to the chiropractor, get physical therapy, etc. Those things will work on regular pain. They don't work on chronic pain, and the pain just never goes away. I like to compare the two to fires. Fire is a good metaphor because it's a flame, it's inflammation, and that's what causes pain. Regular pain is like a campfire. If you stop stoking a campfire with wood, the fire eventually is going to go out without doing anything else. You can just sit there and watch it. You can go to bed, wake up in the morning, and the fire is gone without doing anything. If you want to speed up the process, you can throw water on it or dirt on it, and that'll make the fire go out quicker. Just like with regular pain. Chronic pain is this other fire over here that looks exactly the same. There's a flame, but it's caused by a gas leak. And so if you use conventional techniques of trying to put the fire out, you know, throw water on it, throw dirt on it, the fire may sputter for a little bit. The pain, the inflammation may go down, but the flame comes back. We all know that with that fire, the only way you're going to stop the fire is turn off the flow of the gas. And once you've done that, then you can use conventional techniques. You can do nothing and the fire will go out, or you can sit there and throw dirt or water on it and eventually the fire is going to go out. So conventional techniques will work once the pro-inflammatory gas that's feeding the fire goes away. And so that's what causes chronic pain. There are specific pro-inflammatory substances that get into the bloodstream and feed inflammation. And so when you try all these other techniques like anti-inflammatory drugs, etc., they only work temporarily because this flow of these specific substances, just like the gas, keeps feeding the inflammation. So the only solution is to turn off the flow of the pro-inflammatory substances. So those substances enter the body through what you swallow. And what that means is, you know, we all know we're affected by that, like alcohol, for example. You know, if you put alcohol in your system, it has an effect on your nervous system, right? You slur your speech, you lose your balance, you know, it affects you. A lot of caffeine will do the same thing. But the accidental discovery I made back in 1985 is that there are specific substances in the foods we eat, the food additives in the foods, supplements, and medication that cause chronic inflammation. And so as long as those substances continue to be swallowed and put into the bloodstream, then these chronic conditions continue. So that's the basic concept of all my work. And so there are these specific substances, and there's just a few. There's a handful of substances that cause most chronic pain. So that's the whole concept.
And what, just name it from the top, maybe like one or two, what common causes, as you mentioned, supplements, foods, and medication that would cause chronic pain?
There are two categories of them. The first one is called toxic substances. Those are poisons like alcohol, like carbon monoxide, and like medication. All of those are poisonous substances that have an effect on the body. We know that to be true because medication is given out for that purpose, to change the human condition. So poisons are one kind. The other kind are allergens. By far the most common cause of chronic pain, and it doesn't matter what your diagnosis is. It can be fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic headaches, chronic back pain, etc., psoriasis, irritable bowel syndrome, all of those things that are chronic disorders that don't go away, most of them, that's more than 50%, are caused by one specific substance called casein. And casein is the main protein found in milk and dairy foods, which is milk and cheese and yogurt and ice cream and cottage cheese and all the dairy foods. By far, that is the number one cause of chronic pain.
Wow. This commonly everyday thing. Are you saying that, like, for some people will get affected, some people won't get affected, or
right.
In time, as this builds up in your body, it could affect you in the future?
Both of those concepts are true. A lot of people will say, well, I've consumed this food, these dairy foods, all my life, and I've never had a problem, and now all of a sudden I do. But that's true of allergens. The dairy food is an allergen, which means some people react to it and some people don't. Poisons, everybody reacts to. But allergens, some people are allergic to peanuts, you've heard of, but most people aren't. Medications like penicillin is a powerful antibiotic, but some people are allergic to it and can't handle it. So milk and dairy foods are the same thing, although they're a very the most common allergen there is in food. And so some people can build up a resistance to it finally after time. Like people who take penicillin, you know, the first time they take it as a child, they have no problems. Then as a teenager, they have no problems. And then maybe the third or fourth time, boom, they have an allergic reaction to it. So the tolerance of the body has been broken down. And dairy foods are the most common allergen because of overexposure. I mean, it's a huge part of the standard American diet and largely responsible for standard American health, which is not the greatest and when you look at the world. So, and it gets a little bit more complicated. I don't want anybody to become your listeners to become a biochemist, but casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, is the main protein that causes the inflammatory reaction, just like the gas in the gas leak fire. But casein also comes in the form of caseinate, which is casein with A-T-E on the end of it, and that's a form of casein that's in foods that are called non-dairy. Like the most common is the non-dairy coffee creamers that have become very popular, like especially the flavored ones, like hazelnut and Irish cream and French vanilla and Cremora and Coffee Mate. All of those non-dairy creamers contain, as people say, well, it's safe because it's non-dairy, but it contains caseinate, and you have to look for that on the label. So casein and caseinate are the most common cause. That's 50 to 75% of all chronic pain.
Wow.
And then one more caveat there that's going to upset people is that anybody who reacts to casein and caseinate, which is most people with chronic pain, also react to chocolate. Only the reaction is worse. So there, three simple substances are the cause of most chronic conditions, and that's casein in dairy foods, caseinate in non-dairy foods, and chocolate.
What about particular ethnic groups? Is some of those products more receptive into different ethnic groups, or is just as a whole, it's about the same?
Well, definitely, ethnic groups are affected. Like, for example, people of color and Oriental people. If you know, a lot of people, they complain about calcium. They say, "Well, wait a second, I'm not going to get enough calcium if I don't consume milk and dairy foods." But I say, "Well, look at Oriental populations. They have a much lower incidence of osteoporosis. In fact, it almost doesn't exist. Decreased bone density. And if you go into a Chinese restaurant, there's no dairy foods in there. They don't consume cheese. They don't drink milk. They don't consume dairy foods. So when they become westernized, their culture and their genetic base is not tolerant of dairy foods. And so people of color, blacks, and Asian people are more susceptible. But plenty of Caucasians are susceptible also. So it's kind of across the board that everybody is likely to have a sensitivity. Anybody who has health issues. Now, if you're perfectly healthy and you have no issues, then, you know, whatever you're doing, keep it up. You know, you may have a surprise coming in a few years, but for right now, you're okay. But if you suffer with chronic pain, anybody who has been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, for example, or rheumatoid arthritis, you know, they have the experience that their doctors tell them there is no hope. You can just take pain medication, and that's all there is to it. You can go to pain management, which is using oxycodone or OxyContin or any of those powerful, powerful drugs, but there is no hope. So, you know, and the question that hasn't been answered is, why is this chronic inflammatory process going on even though we're treating it? Well, it's the gas leak fire. It's these pro-inflammatory substances. And so once they're eliminated, and when you talk about allergens like casein, caseinate, and chocolate, they have to be eliminated 100% because allergies are not dose-dependent. If you get a little bit, you'll react. Poisons are dose-dependent. You know, you get a little bit of alcohol, you might not notice it, but the more you get, the more you react. So right off the top, that's 50 to 75% of all chronic pain is casein, caseinate, and chocolate in dairy foods and chocolate.
Can you reverse it once it happens, or is unreversible?
Yes, you can. Well, you mean get rid of the allergy?
Yeah,
or you mean get rid of the symptoms.
If you just go ahead, get rid of the symptoms.
Yeah, you can get rid of the symptoms definitely by, you know, just like the gas leak fire, turn off the gas and the fire goes away. Now, I have a chapter in my book that I talk about what you can expect in the 90 days. Withdrawal happens at first. Like, you've heard of people who drink coffee all the time and then they quit. You know, most of them will get a headache, and the headache will last for 3 or 4 days, up to a week, maybe two. That's withdrawal. So some people, if they think coffee is a problem, they quit it. They go, oh, no, it's you know, I feel worse when I'm off of it. But that's only temporary. So that happens getting off of any allergen or toxin, too. You have withdrawal in the beginning. But then between 7 and 30 days, you should see a big improvement in your condition. And the book says 90 days. And if you get total healing, will happen in 90 days. Most people, their sensitivity to the allergen, like the dairy foods, will decrease after that time. So if once in a while you want to step out and have a pizza or some ice cream or whatever, you will tolerate it. But if you get back into regular use again, your system will finally not tolerate it, and you'll be back into having symptoms again. So, you know, what the point of the book is, you know, I have a chapter at the end of the 10 steps of things to do to get rid of chronic pain that's called the good news. And the good news is you don't have to do this forever. You know, you want to clean the system out and prove that you can eliminate your chronic symptoms. Once you've done that, then you have to find out what your own sensitivity is and to what substances. You know, the list goes on. There are other substances, although not that many, that can also cause the inflammation. And the blanket approach is, in this book, is, okay, here's the things that you should eliminate. They cause 99% of all chronic pain. Eliminate them all and do the 90 days. And then after that, you can find out what you're sensitive to and what you're not. But, you know, well, like I say in the book, a lot of people, it's just dairy foods and chocolate. And once they've done that, then they can smoke cigarettes, they can drink soda pop, they can participate in all kinds of unhealthy diet foods and be okay. But, you know, the list does go on. So beyond 50 to 75%, there are other substances that are common that also can cause chronic pain.
Is there an age limit? You know, most children will drink milk to a certain age. Is there a certain age they should stop having the milk?
Yeah, you know, if you look at nature, what we're supposed to do, what nature asks of us, is that you nurse on your mother's milk for a reasonable period of time, a year, up to 2 years, and, you know, whenever the baby decides. And then at that point, no mammal should drink the milk of another beast. You know, nobody else does it. Cows don't do it. You know, cows have really strong bones. They nurse their calves for a short period of time, and then they never drink milk again. Dogs never drink milk again. Sheep never drink milk again. Whales. So, the cutoff should be you should never consume dairy foods. Fortunately, some people, many people, maybe even most people, are very, very resilient. You know, humans are. We all know people who smoke for 90 years, and they're okay. They're lucky. But dairy foods are not designed for human consumption. If you did a chemical analysis of all the different mammal milk, you know, sheep, goat, mice, cats, dogs, humans, you'd find that they're all different because they're specifically designed to be the perfect nutrient for the species. So you put, you know, you change it up and put milk, cow's milk in a human, and you're likely to get problems. The first sign of problems in infants is recurrent ear infections. That's almost a slam dunk. When you see a child that they call it otitis media, if they keep getting recurrent ear infections, that's milk allergy is what it is, and they need to be taken off of the milk and the dairy foods. Other symptoms come on later, chronic bronchitis, the croup in a little older kids, and then a weird symptom is bedwetting. Bedwetting is, this blows people away, but bedwetting is milk allergy in young kids and adolescents who wet the bed. That's a neurological reaction to the milk protein that some people have and some people don't. So, you know, for overall, you know, milk and dairy foods are not designed for human consumption and they can cause problems. And in the book, I describe all of the different symptoms. Like I have some pictures in there of a case of psoriasis that I wasn't even treating the psoriasis, I was treating his migraines, and we treated his migraines by eliminating the number one cause of headaches, which is dairy foods and chocolate, and his psoriasis went away. So that was another inflammatory reaction to the milk protein.
And taking going to now the opposite end, now they have this condition, and maybe it was by age or injury, is there a certain point that we're going to receptive to certain aging conditions? For example, as you get a certain age, things, you start to tire down, you start to ache, and it comes in, you know, in moments. For example, if you know, you're in the 50s and 60s, now you might get gout, you might get arthritis. Is that because of that's a derivative of the effects of having dairy products, or is it just the effect of aging, or a combination of?
It's the effect of stress. All of us are going to die. And what happens when we die at the age of 80, 90, or 100, or whatever we make it to, is our cells have a capability of regenerating 50 times. And once they've done their 50 times, they're not going to regenerate anymore. So while you may have a billion muscle cells when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 40s and 50s, you have 750 million. So you're not as strong, you're not as pliable, and so you're more susceptible to the stressors of life. And so all pain and all disease is caused by one thing, and that one thing is too much stress. Now, life is stressful, and so eventually you get 80 or 90 years and you die from all of it, but you can control the stress as you go along. The body breaks down due to the accumulation of the three forms of stress, and they are physical stress, like bending, lifting, twisting, falling, etc., mental stress, which is jobs, relationships, finances, all that kind of stuff, and then the third one is chemical stress. Chemical stress is the one that all the doctors miss. You know, it's your body is meant to process certain substances, and the standard American diet has become replete with lots of substances that are not designed for human consumption because they make food look better, taste better, etc. So the chemical stressor is the big one. When people break down too soon, it's because of chemical stress. For example, sucking on cigarettes or drinking a lot of alcohol or taking too much medication or using recreational drugs or prescription drugs, you know, these speed up the process of breaking down. So we do get more susceptible as we age, but you can control that if at a young age you start with limiting the amount of stress you put on your body, not by not being active, but by specifically chemically, you know, putting in what the body was designed to run on.
Now, over time, for example, when you talked about the supplements, can certain supplements really affect you and with chronic pain? I know you talked about it at the very beginning, but for example, you take too much vitamin B or B12 or something like that. Will that also cause some type of pain or discomfort?
Well, it's not necessarily the vitamins that cause the problem. The problem with vitamins is if you take a pill that has 500 milligrams of vitamin C in it. If you saw the chemical entity that was 500 milligrams of vitamin C, you couldn't see it. It's so small. But you take a pill that you can, you know, hold on to. What is all that stuff? So it's all the stuff. It's the additives that they put in vitamins, and so some companies sell more pure ones, et cetera. But the biggest supplement problem I've seen is protein shakes. A lot of people, young people especially, who are conditioning themselves and they want to have, you know, really a muscly body, so they work out a lot. They have this notion that if they consume a lot of protein, especially in the form of a protein shake, it's going to go in the body, turn into muscle, and they'll be cut. That notion is far from the truth. And the problem with the protein shakes is they're chemical concoctions that contain lots and lots of chemical substances, and we might as well go on down the list as we're talking about it. The next substance after dairy foods and chocolate that can cause chronic pain is an additive in food called MSG, which a lot of people have heard of. It's called monosodium glutamate, infamous for its use in Chinese food. But it's also in a form called protein isolate, which is in these protein shakes. And so it's a nerve toxin, which can cause all kinds of problems. And if you look at most protein shakes, protein isolate is the second or third ingredient, which means that it's high up on the quantity list of what's in that concoction. You'll also probably see milk protein in there. And, you know, you'll see protein shakes that are called whey protein, W-H-E-Y. Whey are the other two proteins in milk that make up whey, but they do not cause the inflammatory reaction that casein does. So they're sold as, you know, you're avoiding casein, so here's the protein shake. But like I said, there are so many other bad things. If you look at the list, it's a huge list of ingredients on those protein shakes. So, you know, while vitamins, I haven't seen vitamins in particular cause problems, except for I have seen some vitamins that they put additives in that are inflammatory, but vitamins per se of themselves come from the whole notion that if something's wrong with you in this country, everybody thinks that, okay, what can I take? Is there a protein shake? Is there a medication? Is there a supplement? What can I take to make my skin clearer, to make this pain go away, etc.? And my mentality is the opposite. If you're having any kind of health issue, it's a matter of subtracting what's causing the problem. Like, for example, if you're a smoker and you go to the doctor and ask for a cough suppressant, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, you can take a cough suppressant if you want, but it makes more sense to quit smoking and, you know, eliminate the need to cough. So that's where the mentality of my book comes from. There are specific inflammatory substances, some of which are in supplements, but mainly protein shakes and then foods and food additives.
Okay. Now, for example, if a person who, I have a question here, says my aunt, it was a long statement. I guess what they're getting at, the aunt has been on morphine pills for 18 years. She's afraid to have leg surgery. And one of these days, will that affect the morphine taken as a pill will wear off?
Yes. You know, that's the same thing with anybody who takes any of these pills for a long period of time. They lose their effectiveness. You know, the biggest example that most people use is anti-inflammatories, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which are like the over-the-counter stuff, and the doctors give it to you, Motrin, Naprosyn, Ibuprofen, Aleve, Advil, all of those. You know, those pills are anti-inflammatories, and like we talked about turning off the gas to the gas leak fire, they will lower the level of inflammation while you heal. But if you take anti-inflammatories chronically over a long period of time because you have chronic pain, they lose their effectiveness. And as a matter of fact, what happens is they, when you take them, they lower the level of inflammation in your body, which gives you some relief, but when they wear off, the inflammation bounces back at a higher level. And that's true of morphine, of alcohol, of all of the drugs. And so eventually you're having to take a giant pile of anti-inflammatories just to feel lousy. And that's the experience of most people with chronic pain. So whether it's morphine or anti-inflammatories or, you know, know, the biggest danger with medication is these lifetime pills, and that's what the pharmaceutical companies want. You know, they make their money on pills that, you know, if you go into an exam and your doctor says, oh my God, your blood pressure's high, we're going to have to put you on lisinopril or Atenolol or one of those, and then you say, well, okay, doc, how long do I take this? They usually say, well, forever. And that's where you start to get the problems, the side effects of medications. And that's one of the big issues in my book is that many, if you look up any medication, in fact, look at the ads on TV at night. Most of them are for drugs during primetime TV. And they're all the same. The first 10 seconds are how wonderful this pill is. And the last 45 seconds to 2 minutes is about, oh, by the way, it could cause suicidal tendencies, fatalities, nosebleeds, muscle aches and pains, et cetera, et cetera. So there's side effects to every chemical concoction that is a drug. So the long-term use of morphine or anti-inflammatories or any of those is eventually going to cause problems. So drugs are not the way to go. Like I said, that comes from the mentality of what can I add to the system to feel better? No, it's what you should subtract from the system to feel better.
Now, taking, for example, that particular question, which is interesting, and she says on, is 70 years old. Is there, in the medical community, is there a cutoff? Hey, I'm not going to do knee surgery on a person who is 75 years old. If you kind of playing with two horses, if you, as you wait and wait, and maybe it won't affect her until she's 75 or 80 years old, then you're not going to get anybody to operate on you at that age. So you're kind of caught in the circle.
Yeah, and that's why this information has to become common knowledge so that you can do something about it right away. You know, you want to turn off those pro-inflammatory substances by making specific diet and medication and supplement changes, and that's not adding anything, that's subtracting. And so then you have to see, you know, certainly there are cases that are so far gone that the inflammation, see, inflammation leads to degeneration, and if you keep feeding it, inflammation, degeneration, eventually you're going to get to the point of no return. For example, the, you know, an alcoholic who finally makes most of his liver cells turn to cirrhotic cells, fatty cells that aren't functional anymore. He can stop drinking, but guess what? The damage has been done, and he may not be able to turn his case around very much. The same thing with the woman who's 70 and been on morphine for many, many years. You know, but they'll always tell smokers this. It doesn't matter how long you've been smoking. It'll always be beneficial if you stop smoking today, even if you're 70 or 80. And, you know, I believe that's true of the stuff that's in my book. You know, the sooner you stop consuming pro-inflammatory substances that are causing chronic inflammation, the better your chance of recovering. And you'll, like I said, the book is called Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days, and you should see healing within that period of time. And I've seen people even who have been suffering for years and years and years and years and years. Once you turn off the gas, once you turn off the pro-inflammatory substances, healing happens.
Wow. You mentioned earlier about osteoporosis. It really doesn't affect the Asian community. I think in some other nations as well. Without the dairy supplement, is it our body would break down other products that we eat to prevent that? Or you
sure.
really need to take something that...
Sure. No, it's the mentality in this country is that you've got to supplement calcium and consume dairy foods. And so in this country, we consume a lot of dairy foods, a lot of calcium, yet we have the highest incidence of osteoporosis. It's more complicated than that. It has more to do with the amount of protein you consume. And if you have a high-protein diet, which Americans do, which proteins are mainly meats, dairy foods, and eggs, if you consume a lot of protein foods, that depletes your body of calcium. If you look at an Asian diet, an Asian diet takes a piece of meat that one American would eat as their portion. They chop it all up, throw it in with some rice and vegetables, and feed 7 or 8 people. So they're getting a lot less protein, and that's the strong way to prevent osteoporosis is decrease your protein intake and increase your exercise, because bones are active tissue that remodel to stress. And if you're active, if you're walking, if you're moving, then the body will keep the bones strong. So it's exercise and decrease the protein in your diet, which includes decreasing eliminating dairy foods, which goes against what conventional medicine has been saying. But, you know, conventional medicine has been pretty ineffective in slowing the increase in osteoporosis that's happening in this country. They're approaching it with pills that Evista and Fosamax and those kind of things that are very dangerous pills.
Well, also you touched on certain things that you eat, like wheat and whole grains. You know, as some kids, you know, wheat is nasty, white bread is good. How can you change your diet? You advise people to change their diet. Hey, get off the white flour, go to the wheat, go to the whole grains.
Well, that's actually again the mentality of what can you take that's healthy, and what you can take that's healthy is actually very simple. You know, when I give the people list of things they should avoid, which includes a lot of chemical ingredients that are in foods, they go, "Oh my God, you know, how am I going to shop? I'm going to be in there forever." And I tell them, "Well, do the shortcut. You know, go into the grocery store and get everything that you want to eat that doesn't have a label on it." And so that's all your produce, fruits and vegetables. There's no labels on a banana. You know, it's just a banana and a lettuce and beets and all that stuff. Then go to the butcher counter and meat on a health-supporting diet, meat is fine. As long as it's pure meat, not deli meat. Deli meat is chemicalized processed meat. So you can go get meat, get steaks, hamburger, chicken, fish, pork, turkey. Those are all fine as long as they're pure meats. You can eat eggs. I think eggs are very healthy food. You can eat nuts that are unsalted. You can have rice. You did mention wheat, and I wanted to talk about that briefly, that wheat is the next allergen on the list that can cause chronic pain. And you've heard a lot of press now about gluten. You know, people mm-hmm. say, no gluten, I want to avoid gluten. Gluten is the main protein in wheat. And about 10% of people who suffer with chronic pain, the pro-inflammatory substance is gluten, which is in bread, even white bread. White bread is wheat. Wheat bread is wheat. Flour, tortillas, cakes, cookies, crackers, etc. That's about 10% of people with chronic pain. In order to get relief, they need to eliminate gluten also. So, you know, the list sounds complicated, but it's mainly dairy foods, chocolate, MSG. Aspartame is another one, which is in all chewing gum and sodas, diet sodas. And then we get down to wheat. And then the next one I got to mention, I know we're running out of time, of the medications, by far the worst medication on the market are the cholesterol pills. Lipitor, Zocor, Mevacor, Simvastatin, Vitorin, Crestor. I mean, there's so many now, it's unbelievable. Gemfibrozil, Zetia, all of those. And you listen to the ads, they'll tell you, tell your doctor if you experience muscle aches or pains, as this may be a rare yet serious side effect to these medications. I see it all the time. People with leg pain, leg cramps, leg weakness, back pain, etc., brought on by those powerful pills while they do lower your cholesterol, your lab results, they do not reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke. And in the meantime, while you're taking them, many people, maybe not even most people, but some people suffer the serious side effects that cause these aches and pains. So, you know, that again comes from the mentality that you have to add these chemicals to your system in order to be healthy. No, you have to subtract them.
Wow. So what would be the daily diet of a person, male or female,
to be healthy?
Adult. To be healthy, to kind of set yourself up not to experience these type of problems in the future. Say,
right.
Hey, I just turned 40 or I'm 50 years old and I don't want to experience this. This is what I can do right now to turn that clock around.
Right. And here's what you can do. You can, you know, some people look at the list and go, it's easier for them to understand what to eat rather than what not to eat. So to go over the what not to eat, that's dairy foods, chocolate, non-dairy foods that contain caseinate, processed foods that contain MSG and aspartame, and wheat in many cases. So an ideal diet would look like this. You wake up in the morning, you can have eggs. I think eggs are great food. There are lots of breads on the market now that are gluten-free. You can find them in your grocery stores and in your health food stores. UDI is a brand that makes a really good bread, I think. You can have oatmeal. You can have grits. Different cereals, as long as you use a plant-based milk on your cereal. That would be like an almond milk or a rice milk or a soy milk, and there's lots of those on the market now.
Mm-hmm.
You can drink coffee actually on a health-supporting diet, although it's not the greatest thing. It's better to drink herbal tea or water. And then for lunch, you can have a salad. You can even put meat on your salad. You can eat meat as long as it's pure meat. eating in restaurants is, one of my chapters is stay out of restaurants in the first 90 days because you don't know what additives they put in their foods. So MSG is very common in restaurants, and it's a common cause of chronic pain. And then, you know, for dinner, same thing. You can have meat, you can have veggies, you can have rice, you can have beans, all of these things. And by the way, there's a huge side effect to eliminating gluten. Gluten is a beneficial side effect. Gluten is the main protein in wheat. And while it only causes about 10% of cases of chronic pain, many people, you know, the Atkins diet is based on eliminating bread is one of the things, you know, for weight loss. You will experience weight loss, and if you can afford to lose weight, that's a really good way of doing it, eliminating all bread, pasta, cakes, cookies, crackers, etc., the bready things. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it myself, and I lost 8 pounds in the first 2 weeks, and I wasn't overweight at all. But, you know, I feel more energetic, and I've had a lot of good changes. So in the beginning, you think that it's very difficult to eat this way, but honestly, if people can just get the mentality that, you know, every time you sit down to eat, okay, you have the opportunity to make a choice here. You can either nourish your body or you can poison your body to a certain extent. You know, you have the choice. What are you going to do? So concentrate for those few minutes if you're in a restaurant and order something, or, you know, make sure you have the food at home that's good and healthy, which means, you know, no dairy foods, no chocolate, no processed foods, etc. Live on produce, rice, beans, and vegetables. In fact, in the beginning of the book, I say, you know, you can read the book and learn all these things that you should eliminate. By the way, the book is very easy to read. It's called Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days. It's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can go to my webpage, which is www.chronicpaingone90days.com and learn about the book. But in the very beginning of the book, I say, listen, you can read the book and learn about all these things, or you can just do this. And I give people a list of 10 things. See, eat only these 10 things for 90 days. And that's fruits, vegetables, rice, beans, unsalted nuts. Don't have a list in front of me. You know, healthy foods like that. And it eliminates bread, it eliminates dairy foods, it eliminates chocolate, it eliminates processed foods. And if you just do that, some people have the mentality that they can handle that kind of instruction, then you will see the changes. And then in the future, you can find out what things are triggering your problems.
Wow. And again, that website is
www.chronicpaingone90days.com. You can also contact me at my email at drtwoogood. My name is Dr. Toogood. That's T-W-O-G-O-O-D. drtoogood@aol.com. And if you have any questions, you can go to my webpage, or you can call me up, or you can email me, and I'll discuss anybody's case anytime.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the program. You gave us a lot of wealth of information, and I will check out your book. Again, it's available on Amazon.com and also Barnes & Noble. Anything else you like, last words you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I hope that there are some people out there who can hear this information and make a change and get rid of their chronic condition that, you know, that they have learned to live with. You can learn to live without it, and this is actually the only approach to take. You know, you can medicate yourself, but that's really non-productive and doesn't work. This is the only way. You've got to stop those pro-inflammatory substances by making these specific changes. So I hope somebody out there got some help, and that's it.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Toogood. Thank you for coming on to the show, giving us all this information, and we'll check out your book.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You can download. Take care. You can download this episode on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes or on blog.applecapitalgroup. Thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.